Is grade 8 enough? My father was 7 years old when he started school. I forget the reason that they kept him back a year. So when he turned 14, he had just finished grade 7, and so he was finished with his formal education. He was an electrician, and in my memory, he was good with mathematics. He was a good speller, and we might say that grade 7 was enough for him. We have in our shop, we have some fine young men working for us, cutting meat. They didn't have the privilege of, they don't even hardly have grade 8 because they didn't have the privilege of that, moving from Mexico. But they are excellent workers and can cut meat well. Now they do feel some handicap in their in some areas, as such as reading and communication in that line. I have a chart that my brother-in-law Richard Wagler, who's going to be speaking after me, shared with me. It's provided by the Ministry of Training, Colleges and Universities. They regulate the apprenticeships and certifications. There's a lot of trades that you can get a certification for. You don't have to, it's voluntary. But in all the trades, and I'm going to relate to this chart a little bit later, but in all the trades, they have a minimum grade requirement. Interesting, if you want to be certified as in agriculture, whether it's a dairy herdsman or a fruit grower, you need to have grade 12. If you're going to be a mason or a drywaller, all you need to have is grade 8. If you're going to work in a bakery, you need to have grade 12. Well, is grade 8 enough? When do we need more? My frame of reference is probably a little different than Brother David's. I did have grade 9 and 10 at school 5 days a week, and the school that we have in our congregation also provides that. And so, looking out of my eyes, I'm probably going to be prejudiced in thinking that grade 9 and 10 is something that is a blessing. And I'm not intending to be critical of those who only provide grade 8 in their schools. That's not the intent of this. But I am looking at the place of grade 9 and 10 and appreciate what Brother David has shared, some of the things that we need to think about. Now I'm going to look at, I think I have 13 considerations here in this matter, in looking at education beyond grade 8 and things to think about. And there may seem a little bit random, not necessarily in the order of importance, but some things to think about. Number one, grade 8 education was standard for Mennonite and Amish students until probably in the 1960s, 1970s. Most boys worked on their father's farms, and girls worked at home in household domestic duties. There was some in the 70s that were enrolled in high school in some settings. But, what I mean by that point is that at one time, grade 8 was the standard of education in Mennonite circles. Number two, the traditional farm setting for 14 and 15-year-olds to work in is disappearing, is becoming less. There's still some around. Farming is becoming larger and more sophisticated. It's more difficult for everyone to be involved as a farmer, to have a farm and to make it work, and People are going into other businesses and trades. We have jobs that are needing higher technical skills, computerization versus strictly mechanical mechanisms. The third consideration is that one cannot be legally employed on a construction site until the age of 16. Brother David mentioned that already. The Ministry of Labor has minimum age laws of what they can do. And furthermore, one cannot be employed in school hours. He said that a 14-year-old can be employed in retail, but not during school hours, until they're 18, is how the laws read. And I'm going to touch on the 18 part later. Number four, adolescents should be kept busy and occupied, not just sit at home. I remember when I went to school, I went to grade 9 and 10. It was a choice, an option that we had. In our school, we had the option of 5 days a week, grade 9 and 10 at school, and we didn't have an option to have it at home like some schools do. And there was some boys that chose to stay at home but really didn't have much to do at home and couldn't really legally be employed as well. And that's not good for adolescents to be in a situation like that. Number six, consider the social challenges of developing youth together in school. And Brother David mentioned that even in grade 9 and 10, there's that potential of problem, and certainly going on to grade 11 and 12 would be a greater issue. I'm just going to leave that. Point number six, grade 9 and 10 was offered almost from the beginning of our Christian schools, in our conservative Mennonite Christian schools here in Ontario, from the beginning of our school movement. That time we used, the books that we used were basically secular contemporary books. We had very little Christian, in the line of Christian textbooks for our classes. Even Bible we used, if I remember, it was from, the Bible course that we used was from another denomination. We didn't even have a conservative Mennonite Bible course. In the meantime, in the years since then, there has been quite a bit of grade 9 and 10 curriculum developed in our Christian publishers. And that has been a blessing to us in providing grade 9 and 10. Number seven, scriptural teaching to work with our hands is a principle that we want to consider when we're thinking of beyond grade 8. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. And we want our students to learn to be useful and to contribute to the needs of man. And our focus is on our children growing up, our young men especially, learning practical trades, useful work that can involve their families. We do not advocate going into professions and such like. Number eight, in about 2006, there was legislation in the government called Learning to 18 that was passed that makes it compulsory to attend school until the age of 18. I remember we had a number of ministers' meetings. We looked at that. How are we going to relate to that? Going to grade 10 is only to the age of 15, 16 almost, but to 18 would be a shift in how we do things. The spirit of the law, the reason that they brought that legislation into being was that they were concerned about high school dropouts, because they only needed to go to grade 10, and after that it was somewhat voluntary. And what was happening is that people were dropping high school at that time. They weren't finishing grade 12, and in the meantime, they weren't very well occupied. There was, they felt, some delinquent situations. and so forth. And that's why they brought this law into being. There was a delegation of Mennonite and Amish bishops communicated with the Ministry of Education for clarification and appeal for exemption on this. As I understand, I just simply reviewed what our CMCO ministers meeting minutes said at that time. I didn't actually clarify with the ones that were involved at that time. And as I remember, there wasn't an official government response to that, but government officials that were contacted, they simply indicated right off that it really wasn't intended for us, doesn't apply to us, and actually indicated that we, as a private school that is not publicly funded, is exempt from the school attendance laws, as that's how I understand it. Now, number 9, working to develop a trade has been looked at in a favorable light by authorities. And at the time of Learning to 18 legislation, we thought that one of the workarounds was that when our young men are employed in that time from after grade 10 to grade 12, that we would need to document what they're doing to show that there's some progress in their work. The government was always favorable to learning trades in that time, and still are. In fact, the government in public schools, they have their co-op programs that are developed for students to learn practical, skills. We had at one time a co-op student in our place of work, worked a couple afternoons a week, I think it was. He struggled in school and the academics, and they put him into a practical program, and they wanted him to be enrolled in a co-op program, and he did some simple things and washing up for us. An example of what they're doing. The Ontario College of Trades has a slogan, earn while you learn, and they're trying to promote trades. There's the practical trades are there's becoming, as I understand it, a shortage of people that are enrolling in them. People would rather have a blue collar job, a higher job. They're just working in an office and a computer or something like that, and the government is trying to get people into practical trades, and they can learn even in that period of time, 16 and 17-year-old, they can become part of a apprenticeship program, for example, and earn money as they develop and learn that trade. Now, I'm talking about the secular world around us. I'm just showing how the government looks at it. So in spite of that legislation, you know, if our young men are learning, whether they're on a farm learning that, or whether it's an electrical apprenticeship, it's in the spirit of what the government is wanting. Recently, I read an article in a local paper about grade 11 and 12 students that were hired in a local business, and I wish I would have kept the article. I don't remember exactly what they were doing, but they were being integrated into the workplace, and the title of the article, I think, was something like Better Than Books. Well, they were showing that it's actually, there's an advantage to going in the workplace and learning to work in the real workplace rather than just staying with the books. Number 10 is the fact that grade 10 is required for most regulated trades. Now, there's a number of trades, like in our place of business, meat cutting is not regulated. It is not a required, you don't have to be certified, you don't have to have a license for it. And there's a lot of trades like that, but there are trades that you do need to have a license. And this chart that gives the required grade level says what grade you need. To be in the refrigeration, you need to have grade 10. be a plumber, you have to have grade 10. To be an electrician, you have to have grade 10. But an automotive service technician, you need to have grade 12. So most of the trades that our people would be getting involved in, practical construction trades, actually grade 10 is as much as is actually required. Brother Richard shared with me that he was involved with his involvement in enrolling young men into electrical apprenticeship. There have been in the past some officials that thought you need to have grade 12, but actually on paper it says grade 10. He was also told in more than one case that grade 10 from a private school is worth as much as a grade 12 in a public school. He said more than one person told him that. Now, number 11, looking at some of the benefits of grade 9 and 10. Grade 9 and 10 teaches some more advanced disciplines. The lower grades teach facts. The middle grades build that framework of facts, starts to build it into shape. And the upper grades, and I don't know where that all would be divided, teaches how to apply these facts, these frameworks, and how to apply it in a practical way. And so we have subjects like typing, more in-depth language study, English studies. We could even have foreign language study. I think we're weak on that. I know when I was in grade 9 and 10, I studied German, and I appreciated that. Glad I did. We teach things like record keeping and other practical things. The Waterloo Wellington parochial school system has produced a math book, I believe, that has some practical mathematics that's intended to help students, as I understand it, beyond the grade 8. That's in along this same line, those more advanced disciplines. In grade 9 and 10, our students, as they continue to study geography, as they get older, they're going to remember more than what they had learned earlier. And as they learn more advanced geography, for example, it helps them to prepare for usefulness in the mission of the church and so forth, even if they go overseas or not, just to know where countries are. History will make more sense. English writing is developed as they write. And with increased maturity, class discussions will be more meaningful. Number 12, grade 9 and 10 will help to prepare students for self-study beyond. It's in that time that as they're studying grade 9 and 10, whether it's at home or whether it's at school, I think where they develop often there's a greater love for learning, and that will stimulate them for more self-study, like wide reading, a wide variety of reading, or maybe training for their specific work that they're going to be involved in. Maybe taking Bible correspondence courses, going to Bible school. Number 13, grade 9 and 10 helps the student to overlearn the grade 8 level. What I mean by that, it's like stretching a rubber band. There's sometimes when I need a rubber band for something, and I'll take it and I'll just stretch it past what I needed because it's a little too tight, and then it kind of relaxes back. And we can apply that to this level of teaching. They're overlearning, in a sense. For someone who's going to be teaching later on, if they take grade 10, then the grade 8 is easy. Or, you know, sometimes in our workplace, I've told employees to take 10% off of a price, and they don't know how to take 10% off. And maybe they just only went to grade 8. Or maybe they just didn't use their mathematical skills since they went to school. But overlearning, stretching that helps them develop and retain those skills. In a few conclusions yet, we have a privilege and an opportunity to provide a Christian education to grade 10. And I'm adapting a quote from Christian School Builder in 2002. To omit grade 9 and 10 is like omitting a basic ingredient in a recipe. It affects the quality of the final product.